Lord, I'm not really interested in anything I have to say at this time, Lord. I'm only interested in what you have to say, Lord. I just ask that you would speak, because I don't want to. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone who just loves to gamble? And I know that's not something you're going to rush to raise your hand up for. I mean, at least not in here. Let me make this easier. Is there anyone who is scared to gamble? I want to talk with you. I want you to talk to me. So I'm going to take somebody who raised their hand. Who's scared to gamble? Why? Vicky. Okay. You say you might lose it all? Miss Debbie? Okay. What if I were to tell you that we're going to go to Vegas and the game is going to be blackjack? It's a simple game. And I ask you to come with me. And we're going to use your money. Too risky? What if I could guarantee you that you would never lose a hand? Would you trust me? The title today is Playing the Hand You Were Dealt. When somebody says, I'm just playing the cards that were dealt to me, it's always used in a sense of things aren't necessarily going right, but I'm doing the best I can. Look, man, I'm just playing the cards they dealt me. I'm going to make of it what I can. They gave me lemons, and I'm doing my best to make some lemonade. There is something that I'm seeing, and maybe not so much here, but in the body of Christ overall, is fear. I'm hearing a lot of doubt. One of the reasons for the fear and the doubt is something that you said, it's risk. We have been programmed from birth to avoid risk. There are some of you, excuse me, who won't get on an airplane. Why? Because it's risky. If something goes on at 30,000 feet, something goes wrong, it's going to be an issue. But if I'm in my car and something goes wrong, I got a better chance of making it out okay. There are so many things that, you know, we all read the word here. I'm going to assume that. And we learn so much about God. We learn so much about Christ and what he did for us. But there's a shakiness in accepting who we are. We believe he died for us. We believe in the miracles. But God has said some very specific things about us that some of us have a hard time embracing because it could be considered risky. I'm going to start at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in the beginning of 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion. Does anyone here have an issue with that? Does that sound risky? Is it coming from a sketchy source? Because some things I don't believe when certain people say them. I'm not going to lie. Some people, if they're talking, they're lying. But I just need to know, is this the case here with God? I just want to make sure we're all okay with what God is saying about us. You know, one thing Satan will try to do is he won't call you an outright liar. Sometimes you run into a situation and it may not be, you know, Satan speaking to you. It may come from a friend, but you ever have a moment where you just know something for sure? Like you'll say, man, it's cloudy outside because you were just outside. And then someone will say, they won't necessarily call you a liar. They might say, well, I didn't see that. And even though you were just outside and you saw it was cloudy, you'll begin to question yourself. My daughter does this thing where I'll say something and she'll say, but is it though? But really though? And even though I know, it causes me to think like, maybe it isn't cloudy. Maybe it cleared up in the last 30 seconds and I didn't see it. But that's one of his tricks, to make you question, and let me not mince words, he wants you to question your divinity, as he did with Christ. If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're so into God, how come I've seen you do such and such? If you love Christ so much, how come you don't seem to be able to control your children? Jesus. Satan's game is for you to question not just your divinity, but who you are and who God said you were. He wants you to think that following Christ is a risky proposition. Are you sure you know, if you were to die today, are you sure that you're in him and you're going to inherit everlasting life? If he can get you to doubt, then you've lost. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 and start at verse 20. And it says, I'll start reading. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. The funny thing about God, see, there are certain things that, you know, a lot of times we're waiting on God to do something that he's already done. Amen. There are certain things, when he said, let us make man and in our image and in our likeness, you know that hasn't changed. You know, I don't have to jump up and grab my divinity. All I have to do is embrace what God has already said. There are certain laws like gravity and buoyancy. I like martial arts. And One thing is, no, I don't practice martial arts, but I like martial arts. I like to watch. And with judo, the point of judo is to use your enemy's force against him. So if I throw a punch at a judo expert, he's going to get this arm while I'm going forward, and I'm going to end up flipped over on my back. He's not making up anything new. He's using laws of physics that have been established by God since the beginning of time. The thing about it also is he said, speak thou, whoever has the faith and doesn't doubt in his heart, you can speak to a mountain and it be moved. Uh-huh. You know, what's wild about that is that what Christ is saying is the principles have already been set into motion. Amen. So even if you're not believing for a healing, even if you're believing for a car, or a house, or you're trying to speak something into existence, the rules still apply. And they can be used for good or for bad. It can help you and it can hurt you. Whatever you say and believe in your heart, it's going to happen. It's a law. It's like gravity. It's been there since the beginning of time. It's something that God has already set into motion. So with that being said, I think we should be careful what we say. If we really believe what we read, if we really believe the laws that God put into place, if we really believe the scriptures about, you know, the power of life and death being in the tongue, if you really believe it, we would be a lot more careful what we say. Come on, man. Come on. You know, Jesus took something trivial. Did cursing the fig tree and having it dry and wither up, did that help anybody? Was anybody healed? Did anybody get delivered? But what he's saying is even the trivial matters of your life are controlled by what you say and what you believe in. And Jesus is saying we can go from 0 to 10. It can be a fig tree or it can be your health. It can be your family. It can be your household. No matter how you slice it, I have already set this into play. This is a rule. Use it wisely. Let's go to Proverbs 23:7. The first part of that, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Isn't that crazy? Like, you can literally think something, you can believe it, and there you are. And it's so easy to grasp that he died for me. But I'm sorry, sometimes when you're faced with different challenges that come, you forget that, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, what am I thinking? I know something happened to me. It didn't feel good, but it is my perception that matters. Not what it says, these things will come. Temptation will come. But how are you going to look at it, though? What pair of glasses are you going to look at this with? Is it your natural lenses where you say, oh, man, now, it took me 2 years to get to this position, and now they want to demote me. And take these glasses off and make a decision on, are you going to look at this through your lens or the way God, am I going to actually believe what God has said about me? Because last I read, he said I was supposed to be the head and not the tail. So should this information really be bothering me the way that it is? If it is bothering me, I probably need to change my glasses. One of the worst things that can happen to you is to lose sight of who you are. You can be the president of the United States, fall down and bump your head and get amnesia, and it doesn't matter who you were anymore. It doesn't. If you don't know who you are, what good is it? You say, you know how they have those internet scams? I am a prince from Nigeria, and I am just trying to get to America. I will give you $20 million American dollars if you help me get citizenship. Well, first of all, the likelihood of you being a prince from Nigeria and somehow getting my little old email, some don't sound right. Will said something that was, all of the messages, honestly, have been these past, you know, few weeks, months, have really been helpful. Will said something about trusting in the Lord. Amen. Do you know if we have no trust, then we got nothing? And I could be, you know, maybe it's just me, but has anyone here built a successful relationship without trust? If you have, I would like you to write a book, because that would be pretty helpful. I just think about how it would hurt me. So I pick my kids up from work in the evenings, and they'll say, "Hey, Dad, you know, I get off at 9, right?" "Yep, I got your text. Like, I remember what you said." And it's like 8:50, and I'm already in the parking lot. I'm watching videos in the car. Then the next day he says, "Hey, Dad, I get off. I close today. I got you. I'm there. I'm there 10 minutes early. Sometimes I'm there 30 minutes early. Sometimes I'm there even earlier than that." But you know what would hurt if tomorrow he said, "Dad, I get off at 10. And I say, "Okay, I got you." And he says, "Man, are you sure?" "Yeah, I mean, I pick you up every night. I'm always there early. I'm always there for you." I don't know, Dad. I mean, it's drizzling outside. You know, it's kind of late. You sure? You know, you think you'll be able to come out and help me out, like, and give me a ride from work?" I'd probably cry. But you know, there are some things about us that God has put into play, and it's some great things that He said about us. And sometimes we're like, but can I though? When He talks about victory, sometimes you question, well, does it mean in every area of my life? Because it seems like I just continue to struggle financially, but I'm good on, like, accepting my healing though. The financial stuff, you know, maybe I'll get that together in the great by and by. When He said that He had overcome, do you know that that was past tense? You know, when you read about His crucifixion, it's in the past. We struggle to get things in the future that have already been done in the past. We struggle for victory when we got victory many thousands of years ago. We struggle to overcome. And He said in John, it's 16 and 33, we don't have to go. He said, "I have overcome." So what are we talking about? Why are you doubting tomorrow when this has already been set into motion? I'm just asking you, this is gravity. It's been here. You just got to embrace it. You got to trust me. If I say I'm coming, I'm coming. If I'm telling you, if I'm God and you believe that I am sovereign, maybe what you're saying about me is the truth. And I'm just seeing, you know, I talked to several people who I believe are Christian. They say they are. And I'm always open to talk. And I get it. Life is rough. And I, you know, the scripture says a righteous man falls seven times. You know, and that's fine. But I'm talking to people who have not gotten up yet. You know? And I'll let you cry on my shoulder. I will cry with you. And I will give you what you need. I will give you your space. But when I come around tomorrow and knock on that door, I'm ready to go forward. What's next? Are we going to stay down? The scripture says I should get up quite a few times. And it's the attitude that people are just defeated. I can't. I don't have it all together. I don't have the qualifications. I don't have the money. I don't have the this. I don't have the that. And it seems like a death sentence. You know, we've all been down and you're like, man, I really kind of blew it this month. You know, I messed up this month, but I'm back, you know. But you ever talk to somebody that it seems like every time you talk to them, things ain't ever good. Like, are you going to ever get up? Or you just going, you might, since you're going to stay down there, you might as well take a nap. Just get a nap in. You're going to be a while. But that is the what bothers me is that is contrary to what the black and white truth of the word says. It's contrary to what God said about me and about you. You know, Mom, you talked about the songs that we sing. We got to start thinking about this stuff that we saying. Like, I went to the enemy's camp, remember that? And took back what he took from me? What do you mean? How? What does it look like if I go to God and I say, man, God, I need you. Satan, old Satan stole my stuff again. He got me again. You think you can help me re-up? Can you get my account straight? You know that guy's sneaky. You know, he got me again. God is like, are you serious? First of all, why did you give it to him? What do you mean? Like, what part of overcome and victory and greater is he that is in you? What are you not reading? What Bible are you in? That doesn't say anything about somebody stealing from you. No, you gave it to him. Or here's one. If you never do another thing for me, you know. Hold on now. Like, it says, the one who started the good work in you is faithful to finish it. It didn't say he was going to stop. And that sounds cute. You don't have to do nothing else for me. But why? He wants to. He said he would. What are we doing? I think having kids that somewhat resemble me, I think that's cute. I do. That's all fine and good. Whatever. Is it really beneficial? I don't know. But you know what is beneficial is that they act like me. That's all I want. You don't have to look like me. You don't have to dress like me. But I want to hear about you. I want to see you live your life. And I want you to say, well, hold on. This is crazy. What do I need to, oh, okay. This is how my dad would handle it. I'm not going to fly off the handle. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to address it straight up because I'm just like my dad. And that's how God looks at us. Hallelujah. When we go through these trials, he wants to be able to say, yeah, that is exactly how I would have handled it. Not the, you know, we had the silly, what would Jesus do bracelets. The bracelets were silly, but the concept was serious. Amen. He wants us to handle it. He wants us to look at life like he does. He wants you to look in the mirror and actually see yourself the way he sees you. Is it not a slap in the face? Would it not grieve him if he made you fearfully and wonderfully? We know the scripture, but wouldn't it grieve him if you said, no, I don't think so. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm not capable. I don't think I can make this happen. And he's like, but I told you you could. I can give you as many materials and tools as you want. I can't build a house for you. And Jesus, God has given us everything we need. The scripture says, I've given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. I think that covers everything. I think I'm good. But he's not going to build a house for you. But he will give you, no, that's wrong. Almost messed up. I said, he will give you. He has given you everything you need. He has. He said, fear not. I've already done that. I've overcome. Hallelujah. If I win, my kids automatically win. They're straight. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. Amen. Invitation. Okay. All right.